Hey, welcome to Pearls and Swine. Today we're going to be talking about valleys. Have you ever just taken a trip and you end up in some valley, or you take a wrong turn and you're like, what in the world? How did I get here? One time I was traveling and we were going through West Virginia, and that place, it's all it is ravines and valleys and these little mountains that are kind of cool, but then you're driving through and you're like, man, I'm just in the valley. I think sometimes life is like that. You get kind of stuck in the valley. It's not where you are really meant to be. It's not the place that you're going, but you're stuck in this valley or in this place. And so what we want to talk about today is, how do we get into those things? How do we get into these places where we've experienced this valley in our lives?
So just the concept of valleys makes me think of, like, you know, you're out in the woods, maybe hunting, hiking or whatever, and you get off the path and start wandering around. I've done that a few times where all of a sudden you're just, oh, that looks cool over there, and you go to check it out, and you're climbing around, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a place that you're not familiar with, and you're like, how the heck am I going to get back to wherever my car is or wherever the group is that I was with? And when I lived out in Colorado, we did a lot of kind of exploring and stuff. And especially when it was snow season, winter season, it was fun to go down in the valleys because you were skiing or snowboarding down there, and you'd find a place where there was like no tracks or anything, and it was cool and it was adventurous. But then you got to the bottom and you had lost like the spot where you could continue your momentum, especially on a snowboard. And you're like, now what? Now how the heck do I get out of here? And a lot of those times, you know, you'd peel off from the group to go find this special little cool spot, a stash of snow or whatever, and you're just stuck there. And then it is a beast to try to hike yourself back up in waist-deep snow with snow boots on and just using your skis or your snowboard as just like a plow to get you ahead. And I think life can be like that sometimes too.
Yeah, I had a buddy, he called me, and just struggling with his marriage. And he said a really interesting thing. He's like, I don't know how we got here. And he is just really in that valley, really kind of just almost kind of stuck, kind of not knowing what to do next. And that's a really good question, though. Like, how did we get there? Why are we here? And anytime you're in a valley in life, there's that question of, why am I here? Within this question, there are kind of three kind of, I think, sub points or sub questions that we can ask. And one is, you know, I think we can ask, did God send us here? Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's just something that we have to learn. And, you know, can he help us get this diagnosis of how we got here, what we're doing? And maybe we're disconnected from obedience, and that's really the reason that we're there. And I think that's really the kind of the second sub point is, did I mess up to get here? Like, did I take a wrong turn? Not every valley is that way, I don't think. Sometimes it's just life. We live in a broken world. But it could be our own rebellion, our own foolish decisions that have landed us in that really uncomfortable place of being in a valley. And it's easy to look back and look at maybe some of those choices that we've made in the past that have led us into kind of that dark place. And it's also easy to get, I don't know if it's easy to get out, but it's easy to go, hey, I need to change my trajectory in order to get out of the valley when you're in that one. And there's, I think, the third question that is this really just beyond my understanding? I don't know why I'm here. This valley doesn't make any sense. There's no clear link between wrongdoing and your new address is really just in the depths. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can only understand that situation in hindsight. And sometimes you don't get that answer this side of heaven.
Yeah, I think the question that your buddy asked with his marriage of, how did I get here? That's common for a lot of us. I've been there. I'm sure you've been there too. And really, the times that I look back, and like you said, the hindsight part of that's huge. But when I look back on it, how did I get there? I lost focus. I lost intentionality. You know, life gets busy and hectic and crazy, and you start just focusing on the to-do list of checking those things off, getting X, Y, and Z done throughout the day. And you lose, especially when it comes to our faith and our spirituality, you lose that connectedness with the Lord. Right. I think one of my biggest times that I was in a personal valley was in college, and I called it my spiritual slump. And I had like intentionality. I was still going to church, still reading in the Word daily. I had a good group of guys around me, but there was just something that I just slid down into that valley. And that's it's a dark place to be. There are many moments of despair. And sometimes those are really hard times to pull yourself out of, or, you know, see that there is going to be an end in sight to it. So what I mean, there's no right or wrong way. Everybody's going to have their own different way to navigate that and walk with that. And thank God I had just a really solid group of guys that were around me. And it was kind of one of those Job moments where I was just down, but my friends were with me. They weren't telling me to curse God, but they were like, man, just hang in there.
Yeah.
And that was big for me, to just have people with me, to come alongside me, to kind of help me out along and pick me up by my bootstraps when I needed some of that kick in the pants, so to speak.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a question, is when you're in the valley, is how do you respond?
Mm-hmm.
Huge question that, you know, and once we diagnose why we're in the valley, and there are certain responses that I think we can give, and, you know, you see them in the Bible. You think about the time when Abraham was scared, and he's traveling through this foreign land, and this king's like, you know, who's that with you? And it was his wife, but he's like, oh, that's my sister, right? I'm not sure that was the best tactic at that point to get out of that hard place. Really, I think we have to go, okay, what does God have for us? What does his word says? What does it say in this situation? And what his word says for that situation, we, I think, get that option to choose, but mm-hmm. I think it's always the right choice, no matter where you are.
And I think that's the hard thing for us to understand when we get into those valleys. You feel alone.
Yeah.
And we're not alone. Scripture tells us that God's with us no matter what the darkest valley that we're in. He's there with us. And that's comforting to know on one side of the coin, but on the other side, it's tough to remind yourself of that. That's why I think having a good group of people around you that love you, want what's best for you, that love the Lord, are very important for those periods of time.
Yeah.
Because going alone, I mean, even if you put it back into the woods, if you go by yourself, it's a lot harder to find your way back. It's a lot harder to get out of there. You don't have anybody to keep the panic level down. It's just you and your head.
Yeah, back to my buddy, I was thinking, you know, he was just telling me a little bit about the situation. And I just really encouraged him at that point. Like, part of the valley was just some of his own wrongdoings. Like, mm-hmm. it's just how he responded to his wife. And I just encouraged him, you know, excuse me, at that point to really just go back and just repent of that, mm-hmm. and tell her that he's sorry. And I think in those times we have that moment where we can respond properly and get ourselves out, or we can try to shortcut it and just kind of wait it out. And I think that's what he was feeling. Like, I just want to wait this out. I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. But he did go and he did respond to his wife properly, and just asked for forgiveness. And it really restored. There was this restoration process that was happening. And he was doing, you know, they were doing better the last mm-hmm. time I kind of spoke with them. But I think sometimes we try to shortcut that, and we try to compromise, and we try to wait it out. And oftentimes it's just God going, hey, you just need to repent. You just need to own up to your stuff and just get, that's part of getting mm-hmm. out of that valley.
Yeah, I think we need to have that honest conversation with ourselves and with God when we're there. You can either, there's two roles that I think you can kind of take. And this is beyond mental health issues. This is just, you know, life stuff that happens to all of us. You can either have that honest conversation and do a self-check. God, where did I mess up here? What is my fault in this? Where did I make a mistake? Where did I stray off the path? Or why did you do this to me? And play the victim card is the other side of that. And I've found myself in both of those. And when I play the victim card and think, oh, poor me, why is this happening to me? it turns things darker. It makes it a lot harder to get out of that funk, get out of that slump. That's just one of the two natural responses that I feel that I have.
Yeah.
In those things.
If you think about valleys too, like they're really fertile soil for oftentimes for things to grow. And some valleys, like things, you go out and you get up on top of a mountain, everything there is like lush and green. And there's other valleys where it's just dead in there. And I think the same happens in those situations, is that you have it's fertile ground for you to learn something in that moment, maybe about yourself or about just like a choice, or even just like, I don't know why I'm here, but I need to learn patience. We have a friend who broke his foot, and he can't do everything he wants to do, but there's this really incredible time because he's in this valley to sit and spend with God and spend time reconnecting with family. This guy is like go 100 miles an hour type of a guy. And so, like, it's really a gift in that valley that he's in right now. But the question becomes, you know, really, what can I learn in that? Jesus went through a ton of suffering. Mm-hmm. And you see Jesus suffering, and he talks about suffering in this world, and it teaches patience, it teaches trust, it teaches hardship. That we sometimes when we bring that hardship on ourselves, it teaches us that we need to be more reliant upon God.
Mm-hmm. And I think some of those valley opportunities are character builders. They're places for growth. Looking back at Jesus, when he willingly went into the valley where he spent the 40 days in the wilderness, he was tempted, you know, and he obviously being all God and all man, all in one, overcame those temptations and those trials from Satan. But that was a character builder moment for him.
Sure.
And, you know, you talk about injury. I can relate well to that. There are many times where, you know, you're hurt, and if you're playing sports, when you're not practicing, not playing the games, you're kind of forgotten about. And those were some of the toughest times in my young adult life, young manhood, whatever. And, you know, you really have that opportunity to suck into yourself and just wallow. Or you can use those as character builders where you're going to persevere, you're going to rely on God to get through it. And that's where, you know, folks that don't have faith, it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around how do you get out of those things.
Sure.
Because life throws some tremendous tragedies your way. Car accidents happen, or sicknesses or illnesses or cancer or things like that hit. And who do you have in your corner? Who do you have for support if you don't have faith?
Right. Yeah, I think that's, every trial, or valley that we enter into isn't necessarily what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's partially we live in a broken world. Partially it's a series of choices that we've made. Sometimes it's outside of our control and it just really happens. But I think that there is this ability to trust that God can use it if our best efforts trying to climb out of that valley is really to honor him. Mm-hmm. Philippians 1:4-6, they talk about this, and it says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I think that's really what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do that without faith?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think the scriptures kind of speak into that, and it's really hard to do that without that. And trusting that God is really, you know, if we're trying to honor him when we're in the midst of that valley, he can really use it for our good.
Absolutely. And another thing that, I find hope and encouragement in scripture. Scripture also promises that we're going to face trials. We're going to face tribulations. We're not going to be on those mountaintop experiences all the time. And, you know, John 16, when Jesus was talking, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yeah. The victory's already won.
Yeah.
But in the valley, it's sometimes hard to see that. And we think, you know, those mountaintop experiences are good. They're builders of our faith too, but the strongest ones are usually those valleys where you have no gumption left in you, anything left but to rely on the Lord to lead you.
When I used to be a small groups pastor, one of the things that we used to do is we used to do the story of life. And we'd do a story of life through post-it notes. And you would take, like, you take sections of your life and segment off, like, childhood, teenage years, you know, preparation years, which is college years, and then kind of beyond there. And you would put a different color for those really hard times in that season, and those in good colors for a different color for the really good times in those seasons. And then ask the question, what was God teaching you? And by and large, every time that you did that, what you would see in that is through that hard stuff is really where you were being changed, and being, there was learning that was happening. It wasn't usually during those good times, but it was really during those difficult times on your life where it was really monumental in your kind of movement toward God or toward the person that He wanted you to become. Mm-hmm.
So when, Levi, when you're down in those valleys of life, what's your best suggestion for people to kind of help to climb out of those?
Yeah, you know, I think really being honest with God in prayer. And prayer is really just talking to your Heavenly Daddy. And, you know, He's relational. He doesn't need our prayer, but it's really for us to be able to communicate. And so for me, I often will just go, God, I don't want to do this. I don't feel like doing this, but I know I need to do this. And it's not so much just to get prayer in. It's just to go, Daddy, this is what's going on. And I'm struggling and I'm hurting. And so that's one for me. The other thing is I will have a couple people that I talk to, but I think when it becomes the precipice of what our focus is, it's kind of like always there for us. And we're telling tons of people, coworkers, acquaintances, you know, anybody who will listen to us. I think that it's not cathartic anymore. It's actually detrimental to your hope. And the other thing is I think that, as you said, the scriptures tell us that there's trials, there's difficulties, and life is really like a train track. There are also good things that happen, and there's bad things that happen in life, and it's like a train track. And the Bible says, you know, you recognize both of those things, but you should be focusing in whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Mm-hmm. When we do that, I think what it does is when you start to see the good things in your life at that point, it starts to give you hope that God can, he's at work and he's doing things, and he can even use the valley that you're in at that moment to really do something cool in your life.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic advice. And I think if any of our listeners out there, if you're in a valley right now, we would love to pray for you. You can always shoot us a text or give us a call or email us. My email gets thrown out every week. Guys, if you need something, give us a shout. Travis@evangelhotan.org. And I would love to connect with you or pray with you if you've got something big going on. But yeah, if you need to talk to somebody or even get plugged into a local church, that's a great way to help yourself out in these valley moments. So
thanks for listening.
Have a good day. See you guys.